Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise again against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord
Christ. King Herod heard of Jesus and his disciples, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been risen from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the old prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to become your brother's wife, to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed. And yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for the courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee, when his daughter Herodias came in and danced. She pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, ask whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I do? What should I ask for? The head of John the Baptist. And immediately she rushed out and took back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guest, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Little Jessie was only 4 years old, and she was eating her cereal one morning at the breakfast table when a sparrow flew right into the picture window with a bang and dropped dead on the ground. Jessie ran to the window and saw the bird's body. She had never seen anything die before. Dad, "What happened to the bird?" she said. Her father explained that the bird was taken to heaven to be with God. Her father suggested that maybe they might bury the bird's body. So Jessie scrambled around and found a little box that one of her dolls had come in, and she colored it beautifully, and her dad placed the body of the little bird in the box. She got a paper napkin to put over it to look like a pall or a shroud, and they made a little procession, her and her dad, to the backyard. She dug a little hole and carefully put the box in the hole. And then her dad said, "Jessie, do you want to say a prayer?" "Yeah, Dad, yeah, okay," she said. So she put her hands together like this, and this is what she said. "Dear God, this bird has now come to you, so you better take care of her or I'll kill you. Amen."
Some real feelings there.
The dad, on the way back into the house, turned to his little girl and said, "Jessie, why did you feel like you had to threaten God?" And she said, "I just wanted to make sure that God did the right thing." King Herod Agrippa ruled over Israel during the time of Jesus. And like King David of old, he felt that he could do whatever he wanted to do because he was the king, after all. So he decided that he really wanted his brother Philip's wife. After all, she was beautiful and great, and he wanted her, nobody else but her. Talk about a soap opera in the making. Philip was alive and kicking and married. Can you imagine the sibling rivalry that this involved? The dysfunction, the hatred between those two brothers? But Herod was the king, so he took Philip's wife and he married her himself. And Herodias, the woman's name, seems to have been very flattered by the whole thing and happy to have become a queen. And no one dared to say anything about this scandal because, well, he was a king. What are you going to do? The years pass. They have a little girl. And they name her after her mother, Herodias. And the little girl grows up into a beautiful young woman. And her father likes to have parties and let her dance in front of his friends to show her off. Meanwhile, John the Baptizer has started speaking the truth about God. And unlike everyone else, he is not afraid. And he says openly, King Herod should not have married his brother's wife. And Herod, hating to be criticized, takes John and throws him in prison. But he doesn't kill him because he respects John as a man of God. And even though John disagrees with him, he continues to listen to John. It even says in the gospel that he's perplexed by what John says. But his wife? She's the dangerous kind of insecure, the kind of paranoid that can't stand to be in the same room with someone who doesn't think well of her. And she wants John dead. So there's another party. that Herod throws, and I'm sure he's had plenty to drink along with his friends. And his young daughter, beautiful daughter, dances, and in his great joy and generosity, he says to his girl, "You can have whatever you want, even up to half of my kingdom. What would you like, honey?" And this girl, being very enmeshed with her mother, no doubt, rushes to her mother and says, "Mom, Dad said I could have whatever I want. What should I ask for?" "Ask for the head of John the Baptist," her mother says. Her mother was willing to make her daughter a murderer to preserve her own reputation so that people wouldn't think badly of her. And you know, I always wondered what happened to that young girl. I can't imagine the therapy that she needed after all this. We never hear from her again. And I can just picture that moment in the middle of a party when Herod's daughter comes to him asking for the head of a holy man on a platter. And Herod is sitting there looking like a deer in headlights, realizing that he has a choice between doing the right thing and looking good. And like Pontius Pilate would after him, he takes the coward's path. And he allows John to be killed just so that he looks good. Why is it that human beings, when we strongly disagree with one another, we kind of want to kill each other? I mean, in America, we're too civilized to do that. Sometimes we still do. But we really want to get rid of each other. Why is that? Why are we so threatened by people that disagree with us? Do you know that Sunday morning church has become one of the most segregated times of the week in this country? You can walk into a church, most churches, and within 10 minutes, you can tell whether it's a really conservative church or a really liberal church. Because most churches by now have split apart. And when they've disagreed with one another, well, one party or the other has left. Because they just can't tolerate sitting next to each other and worshiping. Because maybe God won't be there if it's not comfortable. But I have a higher vision for this congregation. You see, we still are blessed to have people in the pews who disagree with each other. We still are a congregation that actually thinks for itself and could argue and discuss and and stay together. I have watched as this denomination has been pulled apart. And I do not want to see that happen to us. When I was at General Convention, the national gathering of the church, people wear these name tags, and it has your name on it, but it also has your diocese. And then people a few years ago started wearing these pins that sort of would advocate for whatever the cause they wanted to advocate for. So there would be an Anglican Covenant pin, or a Rainbow Integrity pin, or an environmental pin, or Millennium Development Goals, or whatever people were wanting to advocate for. They put pins all over their name tags. So I was getting on the elevator in the midst of all of this, and a man was standing across the elevator from me, and I started looking at where he was from and all of his pins and kind of gauging where he was politically, and then I got off the elevator and I stopped. And I realized not once had I looked him in the eyes. All I saw were all of the issues that he stood for. He might as well have been a billboard to me. And so I took off all my pins. What would have happened if Herod had had the courage to allow John the Baptist to survive, to keep listening to him? Could it be that God actually reveals himself more when we're uncomfortable and unsure and listening to someone that rubs us the wrong way? Could it be that that is the time when we can actually grow the most, to conceive of the fact that we may not have all the answers, even when we feel sure about ourselves, to continue to listen? You know, in Charleston, before that young man did that horrible, evil act and killed those innocent people, he actually sat in that prayer group for almost an hour, and he listened to them for a minute, and he thought, these seem like good people. And he almost didn't do that evil act because he, just for a moment, he saw them as human beings. But then the hatred inside of him was too much, and he had to wipe them out. I don't want you to leave each other if you disagree. I don't want you to leave each other in the dust. We could be leaders in Christianity if we could model a community that continues to talk and pray and listen together. Even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable, please don't kill John the Baptist. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we pray for the cities of this nation that hatred and urban violence may cease. We pray especially for Charleston, Baltimore, Ferguson, and our own city of Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the earth, that we may come to respect and honor one another. We especially pray for the people of the Middle East, Ukraine, and Nigeria. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray together for the Middle East, using a prayer written by our own parishioners.
Almighty God, lover and provider of peace that the world cannot give, you know our hearts, the hurt we harbor, and the sin of complacency. We ask you to grant everyone who lives in the Middle East the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and the freedom to live in love and harmony, so everyone can seek your face and work for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns in peace with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Embrace the souls of those who have died. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. We remember especially June Seth and Aidan Prophet.
Don.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. We thank you for all of our blessings. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings.
For my family. This community.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Almighty God, help us to have the courage to look at each other as human beings, to listen to one another. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we have made. Help us to become the people that you call us to be. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And now the church has you look at one another in the eyes and greet one another with the peace of the Lord. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Hello, faithfuls. I'm so glad to see you in the midst of the summer. Welcome. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. We're so glad all of you are here today. We've been having great breakfasts in Tolliver Hall, but we need to say a special thank you today to Tim and Sue Ingeman. The breakfast man didn't show up, so they spent 6 hours yesterday cooking, and they are just, that is beyond the pale. Thank you guys for doing that for us. We also continue with Messy Church, which is a lot of fun. Thank you to Caroline Lingaitis today. We made tie-dye bandanas and tie-dye cards, and it was a great mess. I loved it. We are, thanks to Carl and Sue, implementing a shepherding system here at the church. I would like for people to always feel there's someone they can call if they have a need. So every single one of you has been assigned a shepherd. And if you look at your bulletin wrap, there is a list of those shepherds, and it says, according to your last name, who your shepherd is. So keep that person's number and contact information, and if you need anything, prayers for your family, for loved ones, please keep that in mind, that those shepherds want to be there for you, and they're a connection to the clergy. So we're so grateful to have that. As some of you have probably read, after the tragedy in Charleston, there were a number of churches that have been burned. Some of them may be accident, but at least a few of them are arson. And so my friend, who's the dean in St. Louis, which is right near Ferguson, is trying to do a nationwide fundraising effort called Rebuild the Churches. So today, if you are able or willing, please make a donation. If you make a check out to St. John's Cathedral, in the memo section, you can just put Rebuild the Churches, and we will gather up all of the donations and send it on to the cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral in St. Louis, and they will make sure that it gets to the right place. But we want to see that these churches are rebuilt quickly and that violence doesn't have the last word. And don't forget, we have a new priest who will be starting in the middle of August. His name is David Erickson. He's getting in his car with his wife and two little children and driving across the country this week and next week. And he will start in the middle of August. So we're looking forward to having him. He's going to be called the Canon for Congregational Development, which basically means like a vice dean type. He's going to help with everything, and we're grateful that he's coming. Remember to be generous with the church as our Lord has been so generous with you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, we were created and have been.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.